take it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. Thank God for that song. Thank you, choir, for ensemble, for bringing that. Amen. And just in case Kirk Franklin is listening, we do not own the copyrights to that song. Amen. But our choir is singing it this morning, and we thank you, Mr. Kirk Franklin. Amen. Well, it's a joy to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and recognizing our church leaders. We thank God for you, our ministers of the gospel. We thank God for you coming and assembling this morning. Got a couple of things I want to share with you. Thank you for celebrating Ms. Ruby's birthday on last Saturday and last Sunday. We thank God for her. But also we thank God for you just continuing to pray that we would be led by the Spirit in all that we do and celebrate the goodness of God. We have a couple of thank you notes. This one comes from Mr. Charlie Patterson. Thank you, Crossroad Church, for thinking of me during my illness and hospitalization. Charlie Patterson. And we also have a thank you from Janie Scott. She's thanking the Crossroad Church family. It's sometimes easy to forget that there are nice people out there doing nice things for others. Thanks for being such a special reminder. Thank you so much, Janie Scott. And then we have a thank you from Gwen Mitchell. Gwen says, thank you so much for the lovely gifts that you gave, and also thank you for the wonderful gift that she received during her hospitalization. Gwen Mitchell, may God bless you, each and every one. And lastly, we want to ask that you be in prayer for DeWarren Johnson. She lost her sister, Dr. E. Geraldine Watson, Washington, D.C., and that memorial service is going to be this Friday at 2 p.m. Graveside, and that's going to be at the Baptist Cemetery, I believe, in Lynchburg, Virginia. Forest Hill Cemetery, I'm sorry, in Lynchburg. So please pray for the family, that God would give them comfort and grace. Amen? Amen. We are celebrating our communion today, and for those of you that are joining us online or in the parking lot, we ask that you do prepare for that, a wafer and some grape juice. And at the close of this service, we will be sharing that communion, and we will be sharing that with a very special person this morning, as Jalen Robinson has received the ordinance of baptism. And so we'll be celebrating with her in our communion today. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and we've been talking about life choices. How many made some choices this week, pretty significant choices, show of hands, okay, some things that may impact the days ahead, but you thought about it, you pray. How many of you prayed about it? Amen. You pray about those choices because when you commit them to God, you're asking him and you're invoking his power into your life for those things. Today we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3, and you guessed it, we're going to talk about the three Hebrew boys. Amen. We have worn them out in Scripture, but we did find a very valuable lesson that they can help us with in making our choices. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it is so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Verse 18, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Today we want to speak from the subject, standing up for what is right. Standing up for what is right. You may be seated. Father, again, we ask that you bless the message, that you bless the hearer of the message, that we might all receive your instruction and your grace today. Lord, we realize there's nothing, absolutely nothing that we can do on our own except fail. But when we trust you, even in making our decisions, you help us and you guide us. You provide that love and grace that we need to fulfill your will. Speak to our hearts today. Empower us through the Holy Spirit that we might honor and glorify your name. We pray and ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you remember the TV show, What Would You Do? John Quinones was the host of that show, and he would have people in various life scenarios. They would work out these different scenarios and bring in actors to pose as the folks that were involved. And then innocent people as bystanders would watch. Now, the key to that was, will the people decide one way or the other to support what was going on, or would they be against it? And so as those episodes would conclude, Mr. Quinones would come in and he would sort of do a debriefing with the people so that they could understand what they were trying to accomplish, and they would also understand what the people were thinking when they made their decision. I bring you into a real life scenario today that happened thousands of years ago in the Hebrew scripture that's recorded in our Old Testament. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make a decision. They made a decision. The king had made this decree. His ego had sort of ruled him, or sort of swayed him to make this decision that he was going to erect an idol, an image, in the plain of Dura, in his command, or in his kingdom that he reigned in Babylon. He was going to set up this 90-foot tower, an idol. And what he wanted to do, not just to erect the tower, he wanted everybody, at the sound of music, they were to bow and worship that image. And sure enough, he assembled people on a certain day and started the orchestra playing. And as the orchestra played, people bowed except three: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you've always got these people who are going to run and tell, right? Anytime you either are for something or against something, you got folks that are going to tell. Guess what they did? Word got back to the king that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not bowing. They were not bending. As a matter of fact, they were standing. They were standing for what they believed in. They were standing because they were Jews. They were standing because they worshiped the true and living God. They made a decision. Now, I didn't tell you that the violation of not bowing was that you would be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And I also didn't tell you that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not just three Jews in captivity. They had been promoted to leadership, which meant that they had a whole lot of folk that they were influencing. A whole lot of people looked up to them as leaders. And here they were, the king sounded the music, he had his royal orchestra to play, and everybody bowed down except these three young Jewish leaders. They did not bow. They did not bend because they'd made a decision. Their decision was, we're going to be faithful to the true and living God. And the run and tell folk ran and told the king, guess who ain't bowing to your command? Guess who's not giving in to what you have decreed? Guess who's standing when everybody else is kneeling? Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't that something? Now, the question is, what would you do? If you were in their shoes and you knew that you could stand up for God, but there was a price to be paid. If you bowed and said, hey, I just want to live. I just want to get along. Can't we all get along? And they said, no, we're not going to take the easy route. As a matter of fact, we'll take the difficult road, the road less traveled. The one that requires you to put your life on the line. And we got a lot of folk that say, I believe in God. I don't have any problem with that. But what if believing in God meant that you would put your life on the line? Are you that strong of a Christian? I'm going to be the first to confess and admit that there have been times I've compromised my faith. It wasn't as earth-shattering as this event. But there were times when I should have stood up, should have said something, should have acted in a certain way. But I took the route of compromise. Since then, I prayed and asked the Lord to make me strong in my faith. I've grown, and thank God he's a forgiving God, isn't he? Isn't he? Give him a hand clap for that. He didn't have to forgive you. You either said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, or didn't do the right thing, didn't say the right thing, and yet God loved you anyway. That's called mercy. And I don't want to preach this sermon as if your decisions in life will not require God's mercy and God's grace. It will. But there are certain things that God wants to do through you and in you that requires you to be brave. You got to square up your shoulders. You got to lift your head up and say, I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. You've got to be strong in the Lord and in his power. And in order to do that, you've got to make certain decisions. So what I want you to do for just a little while, about a half hour today, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can be either one. It doesn't matter. Because the point is, what they had, you also possess. The God they serve, you also serve. And the God who was with them will also be with you. He will never let you down. As a matter of fact, many of you can testify. Preacher, I was at a point where I didn't know what to do, but I trusted God and he worked it out. How many of you can say that today? Yeah, sure we can. Sure we can. Sure we can. Standing up for what is right. So there they stood before the king. And the king was trying to, you know, subdue himself. He was trying to really keep things under control because he thought maybe they made a mistake, Reverend Gibbons. Maybe they didn't hear the decree right. Maybe they were reading in Hebrew and not Babylon or the Chaldeans, and we need to interpret that for us. So they stood before the king, and the king says, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were on trial before the king, Reverend Ray, and now they have to give a reason. They have to give a testimony as to why they did not bow. And one of the first things out of their mouth was, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful as to how we need to answer you. If it comes to this God that you believe in and the thing, the image that you stand, our God is what? Able. I like that word. Delphi, don't you like that word? God is able. Please notice from this two things they were saying. God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. That's number one. We ain't worried about the fire. Look at somebody and tell them, I ain't worried about the fire. But then they also said, and he will deliver us out of your hand. I want to explore those things today. Because a lot of times when we give our testimony, we'll start off by saying, first giving honor to God, to the pastor of the church, ministers, deacons, and officers. I thank God for being alive today. Praise the Lord. He's been with me. I served the Lord all my life. And God is good. And they say that's a testimony. But let me reel you in and let you know what a real testimony is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego They are testifying to the king as to why they will not bow, and they hinge their faith on this, Brother Slayton. They hinge their faith on this. God is able. I don't know what your faith is going on today. I don't know what you're resting your assurance in today. But if it's not hinged on that one point, God is able. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to pronounce big words. Sometimes it's good to study. It's good to study, but don't put your faith on what you studied. Put your faith on God is able. Some of y'all gonna need that this week. some of y'all gonna need, you're gonna stand in some hard places, and you're gonna need something whispered into your ear. God is able. They were giving a testimony. Three things I want to give you in our bringing this out today. They stood up, they testified, they said to the king, God is able. He will deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will also deliver us out of your hand. Three things that you need to know today. One, good testimonies begin with a choice to trust God. Good testimonies begin with a choice to trust God. You don't have to trust him if you don't want to. God never forces himself on anyone. But as Brother Fletcher Hubbard would say on WLLL radio, you'd be so glad you did. When you put your trust in him, when you put your dependence on him, when you say, God, I trust you with my life. Trust in the Lord, and he will direct your path. They had put their trust in him. And it wasn't just after the king had built this image out in the valley or in the plain of Dura. It wasn't just then. They'd put their trust in him from the moment they landed in Babylon. They had said, you know what? We're not going to eat the king's food. We're not going to drink the king's wine. We're going to trust in God. And everything else was built on top of that. Everything else was added to that. The Bible talks about it adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge assurance and love. You got to add to your faith. They trusted in God, and every day, as Jacob's ladder, it went higher and higher. Y'all still here? So the first thing is good testimonies begin with your choice to trust God. But then secondly, good testimonies demand that we know something about God. Are y'all listening? Don't just stand up before a king and talk about God is able if you don't know what he's able to do. Some of you have been there and you can say God is able because he brought me through a terrible situation. Some of you have been in the hospital. Wave your hand if you've been there. And God brought you out. Some of you have been through some trials in your life. Financial difficulties. All of us can wave our hands. Wave both hands. Both hands. And God brought you through. You've had situations that you've gone through and you didn't think you were going to make it. But when you went back to that one statement, that one foundation for your faith, God is able. You don't know how he did it, and sometimes you don't even remember when he did it, but all you know is he did it. Isn't that wonderful? God is able. So it demands that we know something about God. Now, two things here. They were making statements about God that God was going to deliver them, what? From first the fiery furnace, right? Didn't they say it? These boys are bragging about stuff that ain't happened yet. Is one thing I can say when the Lord brought me through a terrible car accident, or he brought me through a sickness or a trial. But when you talk about something in the future, you better know what you're talking about. Some of y'all said, the Lord gonna give me $1 million. Who told you that? Did he tell you? But here they're saying, God will deliver us from this fiery furnace. And God is going to deliver us out of your hand, O king. How did they know what they were talking about? Well, one, they were trained as wise men. They were trained to be wise. They either had to base their faith on fact, something that did happen, which they did. They went back, and one of the things they studied was Hebrew history. You better know where you come from. Because if you don't know where you've come from, you might not know where you're going. Are y'all in the house today? They knew that God had brought them out of Egyptian bondage many, many, many years ago. They knew that God had blessed them as a nation. But they also knew something else. God had written or given it to Moses that said, if you are in captivity, and from there you call upon the Lord your God, God will deliver you. They knew that. So they had the history of where they came from to verify the fact that God is able because he'd done it in the past. Now, I want to say to you, whatever God has done in the past, he can do right now or in the future because he does not change. You will never have an incident, you will never have a situation where God says, well, I don't do that anymore. If the need requires it, and if he's decreed it in his word, then you can say with me, God is able. Y'all still here? So good testimony, good testimony. I'm about to wrap this up. I know some of y'all saying, yeah, I'm watching the clock, preacher. I'm gonna make sure you get finished. Good testimony begins with the choice to trust God, which they did. Good testimony also demands that we know something about God, which they knew. But not only did they know the God of the past, they also knew the God that was keeping them. Do you know the God that's working in your heart right now? If you don't know anything else about God, you need to know that he loves you. Even when you fall flat on your face, where you have failed him over and over again, if you will look up and say, God, I need your help. Jesus gave the parable of two men who went to pray. One was a Pharisee. He prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast 2 times in the week. I tithe all that I have. And I'm so thankful that I'm not like this publican that's praying right beside me. But then the publican prayed. And he said, God, I'm not worthy to even lift my eyes to the heavens. Have mercy upon me. And Jesus said, one man, only one man went home justified. That was the one that prayed, God, have mercy on me. You got to know him. And my prayer is that everybody would know him because he's really wonderful, isn't he? How many of y'all know him? How many of y'all know him? I'm talking about you talk to him and you walk with him. As grandma said, you know that he is your own. You know him. The idea is not to celebrate some ceremony, but to know God. In their prayers, they came to know God. In your prayers, you've come to know God. You've grown, haven't you? Now, how many of y'all remember the time when you first believed and you didn't know how to pray? You kind of look up to the sky and you say, Lord, I don't know what to say. But then you learn from the prayers that's in the Bible and you learn from your own needs because all it takes is one emergency to put you on your knees. And while others are saying you're weak, you say, no, I'm on my knees, but I'm going to get better. I'm on my knees right now, but I'm going to be able to stand because God will hear my prayer. I believe they had prayed. And I believe that God had laid it upon their heart. If you stand up for me, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry about the fiery furnace. Don't worry about the king. If you're on my side, I mean, y'all on God's side, everything's going to be all right. Now, I will tell you this. They were not saying this out of presumption. They were not saying it because they wanted to brag. Yeah, I know God. You see no superhero Christians? They got the cape and all, and here they come, and they say, well, you know, I've read the Bible 20,000 times, and I know everything about it. I don't know everything about him, but I know what he will do, and I know he's able. If y'all don't remember anything else today, you need to know that God is able. Somewhere in their prayer life, God had whispered to them. And somewhere in your moments of desperation, God has whispered to you, I'm going to be with you. As a matter of fact, you read it in the New Testament when Jesus closes his discourse and when he proceeds to go up into the heavens, he tells his disciples, I am with you. How long? Always. And as long as you know you've got God on your side, you're not worried about the future. But rather than being presumptuous, they said to the king, if not, if he doesn't deliver me, if I go to the fire, if I burn up, I'm still not going to bow down. Can y'all say that? I will not bend and I will not bow. I'm going to serve the Lord. You got to make a choice. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about making such a choice. And Stephen in the New Testament, he was a leader in the church. He made that choice. That he was not going to just bow to what people were doing. And Stephen, when he prayed, as people were stoning him, the Bible says in Acts 7 and verse 56, he looked up, and I'll tell you something, the greatest deliverance is not just in this life, but when you're delivered into heaven. When you're delivered into heaven. And he says, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. God will show you something. Even if it doesn't deliver you in this life. Some of y'all worried about what you're going to get in this life. I'm looking for my new home. Amen. The home I got now, even if I do pay the mortgage off, amen, I still got to pay taxes on. I never own it. But when I get to glory, I'm in a mansion that I didn't pay for. Can live for free. Don't even have to pay the electric bill. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm talking about the power of God. Hebrews 11:35 says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. You see, when you trust God, you're not just trusting him that he's going to get you out of this. You know, I sing the song Timothy Wright says, he brought me through this, brought me through that. But sometimes he might not bring you all the way through it. Sometimes you might have to go through some stuff for a long time. Matter of fact, some of y'all saying, I'm still going through, Pastor. Had Corona last year and still Corona messing with me. Don't worry about it. Because God is still able. He's right there with you. Now, here's the setup as I get ready to close. Here's the setup. God didn't tell them when he was going to come into the situation, right? He didn't tell them how he was going to deliver them in the situation, right? So what did they have to do? They had to wait on God. And sure enough, rather than changing the king's heart, which God could have done, the king got angry. And while the temperature said it goes up to this degree, he said, no, heat it seven times hotter. Turn the gauge up. We're going to roast these rascals. We're going to put them in the fire and let them roast. You ever had people turn against you like that? Amen. They didn't just insult you. Now they're going to do some other things to you. So the king's wrath was poured out upon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And one thing they did, they bound them. They tied them up. Now, if you're going to throw me in the fire, why do you need to tie me up? Right? What the devil wants to do is not only to destroy you, he wants to bind you in this life to where you can't have freedom. But Jesus said, he whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. I wish I could preach like I feel. And Christ has come in to set us free. They bound them. They took them and threw them into a fire that was heated seven times hotter than what it should have been. So much so that the men who threw them in, even though they were in all of their garments and their protective gear to throw them into the fire, they died because the heat was so hot. Here I want to preach to somebody. You're going through some stuff right now that other folk can't stand. You're going through some issues right now. A whole lot of folk would have lost their mind. But you're still here in Jesus' name. You're still proclaiming that God is able and that God is good. You're still standing. Keep on standing. Look at somebody, tell them, keep on standing. I'm about done here. I'm about done, but I'm ready to preach. But Bill, I'm ready to let loose up here, because when they were thrown into the fire, there they were, bound, could not move. Now, that's the end of the king's control. That's the end of the devil's control. All he can do is tie you up, throw you into the fire, and hope you die. But the devil does not have authority over death. Because guess who got the keys from him? Jesus got the keys from the devil. So you ain't killing nobody that belongs to me. So here they were, thrown in the fire, bound, but all of a sudden the king notices they're unbound. I wish I could show. Not only are they unbound, they're walking around. Everybody say stand. I'm going to get you to stand, and we're going to leave here, but we got to serve communion first. I want you to notice something here. The king's authority ended at the entrance of the furnace. That's all the control he had. He did not have control over the fire. Now, some people say that God stepped into fire and turned the temperature down. He did not do that. God stepped in the fire, and the fire had no harm. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. As a matter of fact, the fire, amen, could not consume them, because they had somebody else in the fire that showed up. Now, not only were they walking around, the king noticed something. He kept watching. He kept looking, and he said, three men thrown in. Now they're standing up. I can't understand that. But then he said, wait a minute. I see something else. Point to somebody and say, I see something else. He said, there's a fourth man in the fire. I want to tell you, you ain't in the fire by yourself. God walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his. God didn't help them when they were outside the fire. God waited on them. Come on in, boys. It's all right. I wish I could preach to somebody. They stepped into the fire and God was already there. A whole lot of times you say, Lord, where are you? He's in your problem. He's right in the middle of it, waiting on you to wait on him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and shall not faint. Can I get a witness in the building? When you trust God, when you trust God, didn't we say that was part of the testimony? When you trust God, when you know that he'll deliver and you got some information of his deliverance, all you got to do is that third point I wanted to make. And the third point is, you ain't got to worry about the rest of it, because testimonies depend on God's power, not yours. They were wise men, but they were not engineers on the fire. They didn't know pyrotechnics. They didn't know how to stop this fire. But guess who could? And Freddie, what I love about it, in my worst moments, God has always been there. I thought I was going to lose it, but God said, no, you got something to gain here. You got to testify. Let me hurry up and close here. I know y'all, you got to go. Look at somebody, tell them, I got to go. Pastor preaching, and we got to get up out of here. Three things I want you to understand. One, you can stand in a crisis. You can stand in a crisis if you got God. Write that down. Second thing, they were standing and moving. They weren't just standing around, so okay, what are we gonna do now? Patting their foot, waiting on them. No. Because God was moving in the fire, they were moving with God. I believe, now here's me, this is just my sanctified imagination. I believe that what they were doing in the fire when the fourth man showed up, which he was there all the time, when the fourth man showed up and they said, well, if you walk, and we're going to walk too. If you take a step, I'm following you, amen, because you in it with me. I don't know what this fire is, but I know God. Are y'all in the house today? And so they were walking around in the fire to indicate to the king, we're giving our testimony now. We're standing up. We're not falling down. So what they were doing is they were standing and they were moving about. But then the third thing, they were standing with the Lord. They were standing with the Lord. As I close this sermon today, I want you to recognize that you can do nothing without God, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And if you stand with the Lord, no matter how difficult your life may be, some of you are looking at challenges right now. You don't know what you're going to do next week, month, after that, and you don't know how things are going to work out. Don't worry about how things are going to work out. Keep walking. Keep standing in your faith. Keep being strong in the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had an impact. I made a note here. A testimony is not a testimony until it has an outcome. Somebody got to hear and be blessed by what you're saying or what you're doing. You give them a testimony. Thank the Lord for being here today. He's been with me a long time. If nobody gets changed by that, it's all right. But in order for it to be good, it's got to impact somebody's life. Sometimes you give a testimony, you don't have to say a word. All you're doing is standing and representing what's right. While everybody else is bowing, you're standing up and you're saying, God is able. You'll never know who your life touches until you've been touched by God. Here's the point. Nebuchadnezzar made a second law. First law he made was according to what Daniel had done. Daniel had interpreted the dream, and so he made a royal decree, a national law, that nobody say anything against the God of Daniel, right? Go over and read chapter 2. But then, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got delivered out of that fire and he saw that fourth man, he made another law. All right? You might say God's working on Nebuchadnezzar. Because the second law says, no one should say anything amiss or wrong or against this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he wrote a caption that gave the reason why. Because there is no other God that can deliver like this God. Isn't that something? When people see the God you serve and they're saying, can't nobody do you like Jesus? That's when you know you've given your best testimony. Thank you, Shadrach. Thank you, Meshach. And Abednego, those were not Hebrew names. Those were Babylonian names. They said, I don't care what you call me. As long as I'm with the Lord, you can call me anything you want to. But when he comes again, you can just call me gone. God bless you. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have prayer. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to stand for what is right, not because of our own strength or our own ability, but because we love and we worship you. I want to thank you for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talked about them so many times, but today we put them in a different light, and we've tried to walk in their shoes so that we can stand for what is right. Help us to do that today. Help us to be faithful. Help us to serve you in spirit and in truth. I ask it all in Jesus' name, and if there's someone who does not know you, that's not been persuaded that you're good and that you're able, may they come to that saving knowledge today and bow their hearts to you and confess that they are sinners in need of your grace. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to open the doors of the church. If there be one without Christ, without hope, we pray that you'd come. Give your heart to Christ. If you're in the parking lot or on your own line, you can't come to this church physically. What you can do is receive Christ into your heart simply by saying, Lord Jesus, I've sinned, which we all have. But I want you to be my deliverer because I know that you're able. If you say that simple prayer and invite him into your heart, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the scripture. So if you're in here today or out there, say that simple prayer. If you're in here and you want to come forward as an acknowledgement of your decision, we give you that time right now. Is there one? Is there one? God bless you. And may heaven smile upon you.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your every word spoken to me.
Jalen, we thank God for your faith and how you followed Christ in obedience and baptism. At this time, I want to present your certificate of baptism to certify that Jalen Natalia Robertson was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit at the Crossroad Baptist Church in Evington, Virginia on this day, April 25th, 2021. And this certificate, it means that you've made a significant step in your faith, that you trust God because he's able. Amen. I want to also present you with your Bible. And we've never done this before, but I want to ask, would you be joining the Crossroad Baptist Church? Because once you get your certificate, you can go pretty much anywhere. So you're going to be joining with us here? Amen. So she's joining the Crossroad Baptist Church. And I'm going to ask that, you know, we would all support her in her faith, believe that God would bless her, and that he would receive her as his own child. Amen? Now, we would give you the right hand of fellowship. We're going to have to give you the right elbow of fellowship because we're not shaking hands, but we are giving that elbow. Amen. I'm going to ask our leaders to come around and greet her into the church. Amen. Hold on a second. The sacraments in the back. We need one more for Jalen. The Bible says that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, they took bread. And he blessed it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after receiving the bread, he also gave them the cup, saying, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which is given in my name." Father, we ask that you'd bless this now, change it from its natural use to that which is spiritual. Help us to receive it with a grateful heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us take the bread. Let us all take the cup and drink together. And after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives, singing a hymn, worshiping and praising God for his awesome goodness. Thank God for Jalen. Thank God for each one of you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we stand. Father, bless us now as we go out, as we enter into our life of service. We're going through our time of worship. May we now enter into our time of work and our labor, bringing others to know you and helping them to understand your truth. We humbly pray this in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of God, may the love of Jesus, may the blessed communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, abide in our hearts both now and forever. And all the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Amen.
And I